Thomas is our man. The story of Doubting Thomas is a familiar story to most and is the one most identified with biblical stories of our time. It wasn't always that way. For centuries, Thomas was given such a bad rap. Christians were not supposed to doubt. We were supposed to simply believe because it was the truth. To doubt was to question your faith, and if your faith was wavering, then the moral foundation of your life was decaying and crisis was at hand. You had better figure it out quickly or you were bound for hell. Your belief system was of utmost importance because what we accept as true was thought to determine how one would live their life. And no one could live a godlike life unless they were a Christian. Fast forward a little bit to right now. We all know that morality doesn't just come from being a Christian. We now live in a day when we are surrounded by wonderful, faithful, and moral people of other faith traditions, and some even who don't identify with any religion. We also live in an age of science. In the 21st century, believing such an outrageous event like the resurrection is complicated because we cannot prove it. To believe that something can really be raised from the dead is deemed a bit impossible unless you're a big fan of The Walking Dead. That was funny. Walking Dead, it's a show about zombies. Okay, well, moving on. In order for something to be true, we need to see it, right? We need to experience it. We need to have proof. So Thomas is our man. He gets that this journey with Jesus is more difficult than simply a transaction to believe. Thomas needed more than someone telling him that Jesus was alive. For many of us, and particularly those in younger generations, faith can no longer simply be what we believe in our heads. Our religious and spiritual knowledge comes from what people experience and how they live. Our faith comes from what we see in the world, how we gather information about what we feel and what we hear and what we see and what we taste. And because of this, the idea that God became human and resurrected from the dead is debatable. We need to have experience of God here and now to affirm that the resurrection could have happened. So a man like Thomas is important, very important for people of faith now. Thomas reminds us that it is okay to question the validity of our tradition and still continue to believe. Thomas needed to see Jesus to believe, just like we need to have an experience of God to believe as well. And we all have our own individual stories of faith. For some of us, we committed to Jesus Christ. Committing to Jesus Christ was simply what was expected. It was what our parents told us was true. It was what our culture told us was true. And so it became truth to us. For others of us, we aren't even sure we're there yet. We long not to be slaves to a mindless following of God, right? But instead yearn to meet and to know God, to find something palpable to tell us we aren't naive for believing in this Jesus thing. We seek something to provide us with meaning because we know that life is sometimes more than A plus B equals C. There is mystery in the world. And we seek to experience more of it. Thomas' story is our own. Thomas' story is so much more important. And so we need to speak out and let our Thomases be heard. Let the world know that we might not have it all figured out, that we invite them to join us on our journeys of faith, of discovery, to meet Jesus in the world. And when we say, like Thomas, that we want to see Jesus, we aren't asking for something black and white. We are asking for the mystery of God to be revealed in our midst. We trust that the divine is at work, and we wait for it to be revealed. Seeing Jesus happens at weird times in our lives and in our journeys. I posed a question to friends on Facebook a while back to see if folks would share where they see Jesus at work in the world. Here are some of those responses. I saw God yesterday when people were donating blood through the Red Cross. The hand of God is evident in the human body's ability to accept and use the blood of another human to heal itself, and in the donor's body's ability to replenish its own blood supply. And then, of course, there is the willingness of people to take the time to donate their blood to others. I see God in the selfless acts of others. I see God in my bowling tournament. I see God in the charitable acts of others. I see God in my students, in their resilience and in their energy. I see God when we walk in the woods and see how amazing creation is. I see Jesus when we serve the poor. I see Jesus in a stranger's kindness. I see and know God when we sit down in those pews and look at the light hitting the sanctuary in a particular way. We can see Jesus when we come around this table, hundreds of us, millions of us, and are united despite all of our differences. Thomas is showing us that faith isn't something simply in our head. Faith is tangible. Using our senses to experience God. A friend wrote to me, Thomas's story teaches us that the resurrection does not create faith. Rather, faith acknowledges the resurrection. Because of God's gift of faith to us, we're able to see God at work in the world in so many different and unexpected ways. Not because of any proof. Hopefully, when a community of faith lives a life together, bearing witness to the resurrection, it can serve as an invitation to receive God's gift of faith so that they too may see and believe. Seeing faith as a gift, yet full of doubt and questions like Thomas, is even more so truth with a generation of youth and young adults, precisely because they have grown up in a world vastly different from so many of us. We can't prove much, and they aren't just going to take our word for it. Their lives have not been infused and surrounded by religion. There have mostly been echoes from grandparents or moans from parents of having to go to church when they were younger. There are some fond memories of church and religion, but those aren't often the stories that get told. So by and large, like Thomas, they cannot believe in Jesus if they haven't heard the stories of Scripture or our own stories of meeting Jesus in the world. And if they haven't heard the stories, how can they know what a struggle faith can be? And if they don't have the courage to go through the struggle, how can they manage to see God in our world and believe? And so we've reached a cultural climate where, in our context, we need to again recover this courage of Thomas, to use all of our senses and communicate with them and the presence of Jesus in our lives and in the world, and be able to exclaim aloud, "My Lord and my God." Maybe we need to recover our own honesty about what a gift faith is. I've spent a lot of time with confirmation students in my years in ministry. It's a process in the Presbyterian Church where we invite 7th, 8th, 9th graders, wherever the numbers lie. We invite them to study and to talk and experience God more deeply and see if they can want to make a commitment to God and to become a member of Christ's church. Well, over the past 15 years, I have been privileged, and I know many of you who have taught confirmation, it's a privilege to spend time with youth making their way through the confirmation process. Our students show us what kind of courage Thomas actually has. In our classrooms, they have the honesty to say what they think about stuff. They question and challenge traditional assumptions, and most of their questions actually have to do with yearning to actually experience and know God, so that all of these things they've been told their whole lives have some realness to it and is more than what is actually told to them. One year, we were specifically talking about worship and what we do in this space, thinking about what it was, etc. And these are some of the questions that came out of our time together. Why do we do it? Why do we worship? How does God even understand us? The wording for the prayers are very confusing. If we don't even know what we're saying, how does God? How do we know if worship is effective? As in, how do we know that God hears us? The scripture readings are at times confusing. They're hard to follow. Our confirmation students show us that to have faith does not mean that we can't question or have doubts, just like Thomas did. They are showing us that we no longer simply use our minds to impart our faith to others, thinking that others will simply get it by osmosis and sitting in a pew. Our hunger to experience God in new ways is wonderful and graciously received by Jesus. It does not have to be resolved. And in fact, our pursuit of understanding is faith enough in itself. Do we need to see to believe? I think yes, we do. And any of us can see Jesus because he has promised that he will always be with us. And it may be in many different ways, but we all will meet Jesus, whether we believe it or not. Because that is what faith is. It's a gift. And that is the reality of God's work in our world. God is here. The story of doubting Thomas is a gift to us. It shows us that these old stories that God gave us can still guide us. It helps us know that faith is not without questions or doubt or conversation or dialogue. Faith is a gift. It is a gift of God showing us Jesus at work in the world. May we all, at some point in our lives, be able to exclaim as Thomas does when he meets Jesus on our journey, "My Lord and my God." The awe and mystery of faith revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.